from now until we get into heaven, we're going to fall short on a day in and out basis. We're going to need the blood of Jesus to cover us and the grace of Jesus to reconcile us back to Him.
This is The Uncomfortable Truth. Hello, welcome back to The Uncomfortable Truth. We're glad to have you today. I was in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, and I'm driving, you know, down to get to our next baseball game, and I look over to my left, and there's a car beside us that doesn't have anybody in it driving down the road.
Are you serious?
Yes. Driverless taxis in Phoenix, Arizona.
They've already got them?
Yes.
Wow.
How do y'all feel about that?
No, dude, I'm not down with that.
You know they're doing driverless. Right after that, the next day, I saw a guy that we used to play on a team with that is from San Francisco, and his job is driverless semis. Now, he's in California. California won't allow driverless semis on their highways. So you know where their test run is?
Where?
Texas, from Houston to Dallas.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That just seems like a...
accident waiting to happen is what it seems like.
I think what he said was there is a guy in the driver's seat, and then there's two guys in the back seat analyzing data. This is their test.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not.
It's a little scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is scary, and I didn't know that they were just unleashing them on the road already.
Well, it's not been advertised that Texas is the...
It sure, certainly hasn't.
Test hub.
You would. Yeah, that's crazy.
It doesn't seem like a welcome, Texas thing.
You're welcome, California.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's why road construction down 45 and 35 is so insane. They've got to...
Yeah.
Maybe they're putting
I don't think there's a ton of them. I think there's just a few test ones going right now.
Makes me wonder, though, there's so much new technology that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, if they're, installing things, in the roadways to guide the... I'm just thinking...
I don't
really
think they are.
There,
you know? I don't think they are. I think it's fully computer-controlled based on, basically, the LiDAR and the lines on the road and...
We own cars now that, you know, the autocorrect whenever they go outside the lines.
Amy's car does that.
Yeah.
When you're going down the road.
And you get a vibrate in the butt and hers do that too.
It literally pulls you back in the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy's car does.
Yeah.
It feels weird, doesn't it?
It's fine. If you don't put your blinker on.
Yeah.
If you put your blinker on, it knows.
It'll let you over.
But if you don't put your blinker on and you just let go of the wheel, it will drive itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done it. I wanted to see how long I could go, and it would continue to do it. And then it
said, "Your truck does it?"
No, but Kat's car does. Okay. And it basically tells you to put your hands back on the wheel. Put your hands back on the wheel like now.
And it knows when your hands are off the wheel?
Yeah.
Last night my truck is self-driving. My son was driving home with me after a basketball game, and he's like, "Dad," I was thinking I was opening a bag of chips or something. And he's like, "Dad, is the truck driving itself?" It's a 2017 F-250 with some high-dollar technology on it. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm like, look, no hands. He's like, oh, my gosh, Dad, that is awesome. And then he looks over and he's like, your knee's on the steering wheel.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I do that with Addy.
He's like, how do you do that?
That's funny.
Lots of practice, man.
Very fun. Very funny.
All right, Sean, will you open something in prayer and Obi will get us started?
Dear God, just thank you for these men and what they mean to me. Lord, just help us to reach our audience for you, Lord, and for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. God, just want to pray for everything going on in the world, everything, all the adversity, everything in Israel. Just want to lift up the Jewish people, your chosen people, Lord. Just want to lift them up to you, God, and just pray for provision over the entire situation, God, and just help us to get through it. And Lord, we love you so much. Help us to have a good rest of our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was reading in a book last night it's a Harvard Business Review. Okay. So the book is just full of different articles. about, and basically these are almost like small little thesis statements from each individual Harvard business student, like, and they went through and they picked the students that had the biggest impact and whose thesis statements and whose articles that they wrote had the most, I guess you could say, impact or they had the most influence, you know, and were the most spot on. Felt like those articles were just really great articles and applicable, you know, articles in our day and age. And the whole book is about mental toughness. It's about mental, it's about mastering your mind. And the article that I was reading last night was talking about basically cognitive development and growth in your brain and how, you know, in the beginning, in like back in ancient times, back when Socrates and Galileo and all these masterminds of their generation were alive, they thought that basically our minds were just a deteriorating organ. Brains were. Okay. So everything was very focused on physicality, on our bodies, because they believed that there wasn't really a lot of exercise essentially.
For
your brain. Yeah. And you know, the article talked about Winston Churchill, and it talked about how, you know, one of his like rites of passage was how he thought that you should have alcohol and a cigar before, during, and after every meal. Okay. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Before and during and after every
meal.
That's
hilarious.
And he made that's a quote of his, you know, and I don't know if y'all know this, but Winston Churchill was not the healthiest guy alive. Mm-hmm. But in spite of that, Winston Churchill lived to be like 93 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Interesting.
90 to 93 years old.
I was listening to a deal about brain health the other day, and one of the number one things that he said not to do was drink caffeine in excess and drink alcohol in excess.
Yeah.
Okay. But for brain health?
For brain health, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. We could really speak to this for a really long time, but it's going to be a short topic. Because at the end of the day, over the last century, what we've learned is that you can exercise your brain, okay? And that the theories and the philosophies of Socrates and these guys, back in ancient times, and even like Sigmund Freud, who was more of a modern psychologist, but still, you know, I don't know exactly when Sigmund Freud passed away, but I think it was like in the 1800s or something.
Maybe so.
Anyway,
father of psychology.
He's the father of psychology, and he leaned kind of more into the fact that kind of our brains almost deteriorated the older we got. And what modern psychology has shown and modern science has shown is that although our brains are more prone and it's more important to develop them in adolescence, that's pretty much a theory that is still very well thought out. It's like, okay, we're the most influenced from during our adolescent years, and you're getting the most, basically you're getting the most wrinkles up in your brain during that time. Although that is true, they say, and the effects of your childhood and the things that happened in your life obviously influence the way that we are as adults, but that there's numerous studies that show that your brain can be at its highest level of cognitive thinking, of creativity, of all of these things that we think about our brain gives us the ability to do into your 60s and 70s and 80s. Mm. And everybody thought before that, oh, you're going to forget everything. You're going to, your brain's not going to work as well during that time. And they've got like mounds of research that show that your thought processes, the positive thinking that goes on in your mind and how you think, how your ability to master your mind and the things that go into it ultimately is far more important to your overall well-being than your physical health. And essentially it, you can be the healthiest person alive and look like a Greek god, but if in your mind you're defeated and you can't overcome your thoughts, you will die an early death. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter how well everything is on the outside and what you're putting into your body. Just like Winston Churchill, who thought that he should have a cigar and alcohol before and after and during every meal, lived to be 93. Like he was just one example. There was many examples.
Warren Buffett goes to McDonald's every day and gets an ice cream cone.
Warren Buffett was one of the examples that they used whose mind has become sharper and sharper and sharper and sharper
as he's
the
aged.
Older he's gotten.
Have you heard of people dying right after they retire? After their significant other dies?
Yes.
That's
a real thing.
That's an absolutely real thing.
It's just real. It's very common.
And somebody works for
average life expectancy after retirement, I believe, is 4 years.
And
after retirement.
People quit using their brains.
They stop using their brains. They start feeling worthless. They start feeling like, wow, society, nobody needs me anymore.
Yeah.
And whenever you don't have that feeling of feeling needed for something, you just mentally check out.
I think that
just shows the power, what you're saying. It
validates it 100% because I think the mindset behind that thought process, the average life expectancy is only 4 or 5 years after retirement. Where people go there when they hear that is, they sat down in the lazy boy and became sedentary.
Yeah.
That's not the main reason that happens.
Right. That may be an attributing factor.
That may be an attributing factor, but make no mistake about it. The primary reason that that happens is mental. It is
100%.
It is a mind problem because, like you said, Sean, they begin losing hope. They feel like they're not valued in the world anymore. And they might get up and do stuff and go around and do stuff all the time, but they don't feel valued because maybe all of their value was tied to what they were providing or what they were bringing home or whatever, and they lose that.
Yeah, there's this thought in my head, like I'm scattered. Sean, you're with me. I know that we've had several conversations about that. It's hard for me to hold on to a thought and keep it and focus on it. And I have this thought in the back of my head, like, that may be what dementia looks like, and that may lead to dementia. So there's got to be a point to where I start training my brain in a different way so that I can hold on to thoughts, focus on things, so that maybe that doesn't happen. I don't think I'm on the early onset of dementia.
You're not.
That's not what I'm saying, but it's the way that I've allowed my brain to operate for such a long period of time that it's not just like you can't just, when you create those habits in your brain, you cannot just say, I'm going to stop doing that. You have to create habits that counteract those old habits in order to form new pathways in our nugget up there.
Super, super important. And for people like me, Shane, if I think of something and I actually read this one time, it was talking about like the top, whatever, 10 attributes of highly successful people. When you think about something and it's a task, you do it immediately. Like you do it right then. Like you don't let that.
But can you do that task without the next task that you need to do interfering with the task that you
exactly.
know you need to
do right now? That's the battle, right? Mm-hmm. That's the battle, you know, of our mind whenever it comes to performing that task or getting it done or making it happen. But that was a big deal, and I had since I have become an insurance agent 5 years ago, I was forced to do that immediately, you know, and so one thing that I would always do, because we're always on our phones, right? Whenever I would get a task-oriented text message, I would immediately screenshot it. I would send it to my assistant and email it to myself at the same time. That was a way that I started like getting that stuff knocked out.
Yeah.
Without that, brother, right now I would be lost. I probably do that 20 times a day.
Okay.
That is a huge thing for me.
What if you're sitting in your truck and you take the screenshot and you're connected to Apple Play and it pops up the other picture from the, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking
about?
If you're connected to Apple Play, when you screenshot something, it gives you two pictures.
Yeah.
Does that bother you?
I can't stand that.
Do you have to delete that picture before you can send the picture to yourself?
Me too. Yeah.
It's real stuff, man. It bothers the crap out of me too.
It absolutely does. You know, at the end of the day, bringing this all back, we have to be masters of our mind. And if we're not spending the same energy that we may put into exercising our bodies and thinking about what we are putting into our bodies, the same energy, going into how are we cultivating our minds? How are we allowing our minds to grow? What are we doing to what the Bible says and what God says is to take every thought captive? To take every thought captive. There's a reason that God encourages us to take every thought captive. It's because he knows that if we allow our thoughts to consume us and we don't take them captive, that those thoughts will overtake us. They will overtake us and they will lead us down a road of anxiousness. They'll lead us down a road of feeling like we can control certain things and this illusion of control, like we talked about in the last podcast. And so I just want to encourage everybody to focus on mental toughness, to research, see what the Bible has to say about mastering your mind and taking every thought captive. See what the Bible says about, really focusing and exercising our minds, because it's so important. It's so important. I would argue that it's more important than going to the gym 5 days a week. I'm not saying that that's not important, because I think it's very important. But I think that mastering our minds and learning how to deal with all of the influx of information that we receive on a day in and out basis, and then how to compartmentalize that and how to live a fulfilling life of peace and joy. I think that's going to come. I think it's more important.
Yeah. I think you're talking about just establishing priority, right? Our brains are constantly all day, every day, trying to establish priority.
And take information in.
Everything's not a fire. Everything's not a priority. And when we set those priorities in place, we have to make a conscious decision every day of what priority number one is. And if that priority number one is looking at other priorities through the lens of how we feel like God should have us look at it, then that's number one. We have to establish that. And then everything else comes in as like, and we have to establish those priorities based on realness. Like, is this person calling me that just needs me to do something a priority? Or is it a priority to sit here and watch my daughter's basketball game? Okay, ding, ding, ding. Watch the game. Deal with that later. You know?
Yeah.
But so many times when we continue to create priorities that aren't priorities, then we get confused. I get confused on like what should be done when and how it should be done and how fast it needs to be done. And, you know, so it's
retraining
your brain.
Yeah, a lot of times you get confused for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because you go down this rabbit hole of thinking that this is the most important thing in your life, and the fact is it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so
good word.
Constantly evaluating and constantly understanding that our minds are growing and they're going to continue to grow into old age. It's not something that like, oh, well, I didn't learn that when I was 16 years old, so it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah. That's good.
So, yeah, I liked it.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit those buttons at the bottom. Help us reach more people for Jesus. Go kick the day in the face, and we'll catch you on the next one.